Buddha offer of awakening. Today is a particular theme or a particular kind of lens on looking at our experience, and I use the theme of falling awake and looking at the sankharas, the formations, the programming, as I've been going on and on about all day, right? Where that fits in terms of the map, and the reason I want to do this is so that this isn't the whole thing. Right? This is not the whole thing. Let's see how to do this briefly. Putting it really simply, the teachings are interested in suffering and the end of suffering, period. All this other information and particular lenses and nuances on it are ways that may or may not support us to understand the process of the Four Noble Truths. The truth that there is suffering, that there is clinging, and that's the cause of our suffering, that there is a release from clinging and suffering, and that there is a pathway towards that. All of this is in the service of that. So if any of it's confused you or sent you into kind of, I was going to use a big word then, but I was a bit too scared in Cambridge to use a big word. I was like, I don't know. I've got my little inferior self just arose there. Use that word, it could be the wrong one. Huh? Some conditionings are hard to let go.
Some programs, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's another one. The big brother's going to go, that's not right. Paroxysms. What's that?
Paroxysms.
Spasm.
Okay, it's the right one. Yeah, paroxysms. Is that how you say it?
Paroxysms.
Paroxysms of the mind, trying to figure all this out. Thank you for helping me with the release from my condition. To really let that go, we're really interested, if this was in any way serving you, to see that process of how clinging takes hold. In this case, to the sankharas, the formations, the programming. The Buddha talks about clinging to the five aggregates, of which sankharas is one, the programming is one. Right? So, somebody asked a question, and I'm glad they asked it actually, about, well, does this mean I'm going to be completely deprogrammed? And then, you know, and then our mind will come up with what kind of image that has, wouldn't it? Depending on who you are. I remember when I first heard teachings around this more deconstructing aspect of the path, the image from my mind was like, oh my God, I'm going to be like a sort of mulch at the end of this practice. And actually, that's really not the case. When I reflect on my teachers and people who have really gone deep with this work, they don't turn into mulch. They may be malleable in terms of the consciousness, that it's more malleable, a little bit less rigid, but actually there's also this concurrent thing of becoming more of who you are, actually, which isn't the kind of language you hear in Buddhism. It doesn't emphasize that side of it. But the distinctness and particularness of who we are actually is really allowed to flourish. And that's very beautiful. And no, the Buddha didn't only speak about deprogramming. He also talked about taking on some really skillful programs. This investigation today is to start to have more choice around what I want to pick up in my mind. Normally we're kind of compelled into, you know, someone treads on my toe and then I've become a victim or whatever it is. Or someone looks at me like that and my body starts going like that. You know, we don't have a choice around that. Learning to step back is to start to see, actually, what do I want to pick up here? What do I want to pick up in the mind? What do I want to let take shape here? There's more freedom in that. And the Buddha was very, very clear, actually, of a whole realm, which I haven't touched so much today, of cultivating skillful habits and patterns of the mind which support us, like patience, generosity, calming, kindness, equanimity, compassion, service, all kinds of qualities that support the mind, beautiful in and of themselves, beautiful programs, and ones that support us to let go. When there's more kindness in the heart, when there's more stability in the mind, which we can cultivate. We're not just born, we're not only destined to the legacy that we've inherited, we can cultivate those things. They actually, when there's more of that available in the mind, we're more likely to go, oh, it's okay. It's okay to be here. Our hands can open. The clinging is usually born out of fear, and we hold on to things because we don't know it's okay to breathe out, to open, to discern, and to be who and what we are. So I wanted to give a little bit more of that context, because sometimes we can hear those kind of teachings and think, oh my God, there's nothing. You know, it can go a little bit to the extreme of, well, there's nothing to do, and there's nothing to cultivate, and there's nothing to practice, which you sometimes hear in certain extremes of pointing to the truth of our mind, which is already awake. But there is a practice, there is a path, there is structure that can support us in this noble work and difficult work of releasing ourselves back into life more fully, for our benefit and for the benefit of each other and this dear planet. So, yeah, any questions or comments from any of you? Anything you found out today? I've had lots of time for questions. Maybe now's a good time for anything that would be, that we'd like to hear about, or that you'd like to articulate. What did you find out today? Anybody willing to? Doesn't have to be profound, you know.
But practice works.
You found out that practice works. Okay.
Not it was the first time I found out, but I was reminded. Well, simply that I hadn't had much opportunity to practice recently.
Can you hear okay? Yeah.
And so I came here to spend the day, and I just feel I'm back, sort of aligned, rather than being scattered and jagged.
Yeah.
So I know practice works. I've been there.
Yeah. So it's the verified faith, as it were.
Yes.
Not in something,
yes,
but the verified for myself. Yeah, something works here. Mm. Anything else you found out today? Oh yeah, hi.
I was just the sort of image that's been in my mind all day is when you talked about your Macintosh with the little jumping icons. I use a PC, so mine don't jump.
They don't jump. Too bad. It's nice.
It's a little bit more boring. But I kept thinking about what you're talking about as the operating system, as sort of background mindfulness. Is that kind of a useful metaphor? I don't know. That's just where I went with it. The programs are the icons.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to turn the computer on, and that's the basic mindfulness. And I think what I learned today is that, if that's fair, which is just what I've done with it,
mm-hmm.
That in some ways it's something we can take off the cushion, and it's sort of walking around mindfulness that we hope we embody, where we just sort of, notice when we're walking down the street when, I don't know, something arises.
Someone looks at us funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For example. So I suppose you just made me think about that a little bit differently, and I mean, I'm not sure the operating system is some wonderful metaphor, but I do like the idea that there's a background kind of awareness that might catch those programs even when we're not sitting.
Oh, okay. So I think it sounds like it's a really helpful metaphor for you right now.
Just for walking around.
For walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so use it. It's like there's a skillful means. Pick it up, work it. Let it inform you. Walk down the street and go, okay, wow, look who I just became, right? You can work it in that way, and it will be very, very skillful for you. In terms of the philosophy of whether there is whether there is a background thing that has an inherent existence and all of that, that's a whole philosophical discussion we could have that would be lots of fun. Right, you know, about what people do with that.
I was just working with your math metaphor.
Good. So if it's going to serve you in your capacity to look into things, use it. Then it's skillfully taken up. Great. Please do. And it is. It's absolutely for off the cushion. One teacher I know, he says he has like a little secret mission going when he's walking around. It's to actually know what's going on. What's being spun? What's being released? What's the quality of the chitta? What mind states are arising in relation to this contact, that contact? It's like it's a secret mission of mindfulness. Any other last?
For me, the day was, and what you were talking about was a lot about this paradox of letting go gives me more choice and gives me more power. And so it makes me stronger by seemingly surrendering. And it's not surrender, but it is as well. So,
and where does that leave you when you hold both of that in the complete letting go? There's a strength that seems to be here. Where does that leave you in your presence right now?
It leaves me stronger and more powerful.
Mm-hmm. And the power really is the power to be where we are. Free to be where we are and who we are, actually. And not just in a driven, compelled way. And when you look into power, it's quite interesting that really, yeah, maybe that's enough that I can say, the power to really let ourselves be here. It takes power.
And courage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we practice further, those things that can seem like opposites can actually integrate. For example, how can surrender be powerful? To our mind, it's like, You know, either you're a complete weakling if you surrender, or you're powerful and you're destructive, or whatever it is. How can these two actually be integrated? Thank you. So, coming to an end here.